the girlfriend.
That sounded like, you know, the audience applauding.
Well, I used to just say life for the girlfriends, and then you pop in saying, more life for the girlfriends.
You just decided to steal my thunder.
I did. And we're Christine, Marie, and Julie. I'm Julie.
I guess that leaves me as Christine Marie. Is that right? Okay.
Mother-daughter coaches.
Mother-daughters, that's
authors,
right.
Authors, you're a therapist. I'm a former teacher. And we're just here on a Sunday night trying to have a good time. Bring
we
a little
call
bit
it
of
our therapy session.
I have called it.
It starts our week off nicely.
It does. And we've kind of contemplated about it, like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do Sunday nights. And then I'm like, you know what? I don't care. Because you can listen to the recording anytime you want to.
Right.
And not only that, it sets our week off so nicely. I always tell people, if you want to build a strong relationship with your mom or a significant other or a friend, force yourself to talk to each other for an hour.
Enforced therapy.
Well, it's not about bad things, but about cool things and good things.
We absolutely strive to do that, you know, and it has really uplifted, I believe, our relationship. You know, I got an email from a listener this week, and she was very, you know, just lovely.
Yes.
But she had this question: are you scripted? Do you know what you're going to say? Are you totally off the cuff? And she goes, no, but either way, it's so relaxed. It sounds so good.
Yeah,
I just got to know. And Julie, are we scripted?
No,
are we
not
off the cuff?
One bit.
I know.
And that's why are so many times when you're like, Julie, what if we don't have anything to say for an hour? I said, when does that ever happen, girlfriend?
Yeah, but it's always a first, right?
There is. And I'll just pull the, I'm not feeling too good, guys. We got to kind of end the show early tonight. Hopefully our engineer can put a recording on.
That's right.
But not tonight. We're feeling good.
That's right.
Feeling dandy. You know, it's kind of funny. Today I want to celebrate. I have a lot to talk about, and I hope you're open for me to just kind of dump about my week.
Right, sure.
And, you know, if I had, like, last week our theme was about death.
Right. And
this week,
and we managed to do it so nicely.
Yes, we did. And this week I think our talk is about, if I'm going to be really honest, it's about this idea of really trying to master the daily living of being an adult in this world.
No.
Yeah.
No. In 55 minutes?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, because I've had so many crazy things happen to me this week, and I kept having to think about, okay, well, how would I...
What if an adult do that?
Yeah, how would I want it if I was really in my big adult panties,
like
I claimed them, I put them on, and, you know, they felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how would I behave in this situation?
Mm-hmm. Just kind of pose that question.
Well, yes.
As if you're not Peter Pan and like, I will never grow up.
Sometimes
never
I
grow
feel
up.
That way. And I had a culture shock today. I was skimming through Yahoo News or something, and it said, Cindy Crawford looking as beautiful as ever, and she's almost 50. I'm like, dun, dun, dun. No way. Almost 50. And I went to high school in a school near her.
You went to high school with Cindy.
No, I didn't. But it wasn't
you
too far.
You are younger than Cindy Crawford. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel okay.
Yeah.
But
she was from our town.
One town over.
One town. Well, DeKalb. DeKalb, Illinois.
Is where she's from.
Yeah.
And so, you know, our high school, we knew of her because I remember being in my senior year and we had just moved to Sycamore.
Mm-hmm.
And people were talking about her, like, oh, because she had younger sisters, I think, and, you know.
Yes.
And they're
her
in
mom
school.
Had a little dress shop in the... In the cow.
So, you know, as
she
a supermodel.
She used to come home for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, it was just a talk of the town. Mm-hmm. Did you see Cindy Crawford this weekend?
Remember when she and Richard Gere would come into town?
And people were trying to find them. Oh, yeah, Richard Gere, Cindy Crawford. Ooh.
Yeah.
and so here it is.
You found them at the pet shop shopping for gerbils.
I didn't. I don't think we even had a pet shop in Sycamore. They might have been.
Julie, don't block my cock.
Can we erase this, please?
I mean, don't block my clock.
There you go. Mom's going blue. I don't know why. But, well, it's so funny. You know, and here's the thing, Mom, you're allowed to go blue sometimes.
That's right.
But it was interesting because the day I was going to comment about how spiritually, how spiritual guru you were toward me a day.
Well, that doesn't mean I can't go blue every once in a while.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
I mean, even the best gurus
go blue. I don't know about that.
No?
I don't know about that. I mean, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Or at least they break bad every once in a while.
That's true.
You got to just like, I will never grow up. Never grow up.
Right.
I represent the lollipop kids. The lollipop kids. That's me. That's the real me that comes out.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it's funny because...
Because you're always accusing me of writing checks that your butt's got to cash.
Yeah, okay, so you're just letting out all the secrets tonight, aren't you?
Well, I'm just thinking about when the Hinckley Schmidt guy missed our house, and
yes.
He was in front of this other person's house, so we were going to talk to him.
Yeah.
And he's in that person's garage, just dropping the water, right?
And we're waiting patiently.
And we're just waiting very nicely, and I got my head out the window, and this lady sticks her head out of the garage door. Can I help you? Real mean. I'm like, not really.
You didn't say anything.
No.
You're like, I'm not saying a word.
Yeah, so I feel like saying a word to her. She's like, can I help you?
I said, she's asking you something, Mom. I said, I don't care. And I remember, you must have just been in one of those moods this week, because I remember pulling into our subdivision, and you were with me at the time, and you're like, I hate that guy right there. I go, what guy's that?
Because he has a black Volkswagen.
Yeah, I hate that guy.
I hate that car.
I go, what do you know? I go, no, he just drives by our house all the time, just drives right by it.
Breaks the energy chain.
Yeah, and then I'm just like, okay. I go, I must keep...
She's in one of those moods.
Mom's in one of those moods.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be the change in weather, because already it's like dark out and I'm not happy.
No, I know.
I'm not happy.
No.
This is the first time...
It's SAD. S-A-D. Seasonal Affective Disorder.
Yes. This is the first time that we start our radio show in the dark since this last season.
I know, Julie.
I'm not happy.
I know.
Oh, well. And so, you know, this idea that Cindy Crawford is turning 50 and like, wow, aren't we all shocked that she looks so good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just felt completely old this weekend when I read that. I felt old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm younger than Cindy Crawford, thank God. But it's like, thank God, oh, no, can't turn 50. But it's weird because if I told my 20-something this, they wouldn't believe me.
Your 20-something self?
Yes, my 20-something self. I said, hey, you're going to feel young your whole life. And don't worry about the age of the birthday, because you're going to feel young.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not feel like you got it all together, you know, that you're going to be still learning.
Mm-hmm.
And my 20-something would have been like, well, get it together. Figure it out before I get there.
Because that's so old.
Yeah.
Please tell me. I've got something to look forward to.
Please. And the answer is yes, you have a lifetime of learning to look forward to.
Yes.
And that's been really hard because everything that comes out in brain health is, you know, the neuroplasticity, right? Is the right word?
Neuroplasticity, yes.
Yes, of your brain. It's all about choosing to do new, different stuff.
Right.
That also means, you know how we are in a career and we kind of learn a little more, we learn a little more,
mm-hmm.
we learn a little more. That's great. That's building on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I've read research where they suggest learning completely new, out of the ballpark, take on a new career that you want to do, but you have no background
in. Right, right.
Start from scratch.
Wow.
Because that builds those pathways,
mm-hmm.
those neural pathways in there, in your brain. And that's what keeps your brain malleable, you know? And,
mm-hmm.
and then you're like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know that was... You know, that had to be done too, you know?
And that's cool because, you know, and people that you meet that have that love, they have that light in their eyes and stuff, except that in general, in today's world, I mean, people's lives are jam-packed.
Yes.
If they're not raising their kids, if they're not going to the store, if they're not washing laundry, you know, oh, yes, I would like to take up a new language, you know? But it that requires a certain amount of time, you know. But
well, and how do you I'm going to bring up Tim Ferriss right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, because he talks about in the 4-hour work week, mm-hmm. he wanted to call it the vagabond lifestyle.
Right.
And what that meant to him is that you'd work really hard for a while, and then you'd take a lot of time off.
Right.
Then work really hard, take some time off.
Except now people just work really hard.
There's never time off, yeah. And there's more and more, yeah. And more and more stuff to do. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, crazy, and mm-hmm. more and more bills, and it seems to never go far enough. And
right.
You're just like, okay, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you stand in prosperity. You stand in abundance, which we truly firmly believe in. And but sometimes the work can get you a little bit down that there's no space to even consider doing something different.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about this this week. We were talking about what you're talking about right now in terms of habits.
Mm.
And I suggested that when you know, the coaches and people that, you know, the gurus that we admire and stuff, one of the first things they do when they're suggesting something is that you get up an hour earlier or just get up earlier.
Just get up earlier, yeah.
Because there's usually, if you do the same things that you always do and try to squish something new in, it doesn't usually last.
No, mm-hmm. No. And a lot of my clients, too, they say that line, like, I don't have any time. I'm saying, well, like, here's the thing. You have no less time than Tony Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets a lot of stuff done.
Yeah, I know.
And I know because...
But he's got a cook. He's got a chauffeur. He's got a laundress.
Well, and how about this? You know, when he was broke, mm-hmm. starting off,
mm-hmm.
You know what? You're right. It's not the right example.
Mm-hmm.
But we all do... It's the one equalizer, time.
Mm-hmm.
And... It's sort of like that's the thing about being an adult.
Mm-hmm.
How do we figure out how to not just use our time wisely,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's so funny.
How do we keep our brains young?
Yeah.
Stretched and still, the older I get, the more joy I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want drama. I don't want mean people. You know, just, I don't want to deal with mean people like, what, can I help you? What are you doing parked in front of my house? You know, I just don't, I'm like, that just sounded mean to me. I just didn't feel like answering her.
Yeah, and your mean radar went up, and you're like, you're mean, and I'm not going to associate with that.
or as you like to say, you're dead to me.
Yeah, you're dead to me. Exactly, you're dead to me. Yeah, I've gotten caught in that once or twice. And they're like, really? I'm dead to you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not really. You just really...
At this moment,
you have to be dead to me.
I cannot stand to look at your face right now.
Exactly. I don't even know where I got that from.
Really?
The Godfather?
Yes.
Really? You're talking to your mother here? You don't know where I got you got that from? So here we are. We're trying to... master these daily things that come up in our lives, these things that trigger us, you know, the things that bring us back. The one thing I know right now is that the media really wants you to feel flawed. Because by feeling flawed, you get to buy what they sell
mm-hmm.
to make you feel less flawed.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the world goes around because then you give them money,
mm-hmm.
and then they get to do their stuff. And
if
then,
I just buy these cool shoes.
Yeah, I will feel much better.
I won't feel so flawed.
No, not one bit.
I won't feel so sad.
And sometimes, some weekends, you just are pummeled with these little tiny things that by Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
the blues come up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I got to start another week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I'm at, even though I have pulled out quite a few blessings this week.
Yes, you did.
For sure.
And what was the big one? You're alive. You got hit by a head-on car.
Oh, thank you. I got hit by a drunk driver this weekend.
Yes.
Okay, well, I will share that story because it was a bittersweet moment in my life because...
No mother wants to get the text, we were hit head-on by a drunk driver.
And we're okay.
That's the first line.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Jill.
I think I said, we're okay, which is code word for every parent going,
yeah.
what now? Why are you telling me you're okay? Please,
that is
the love of God, why?
Mom, we're okay.
We're okay. Okay, why? Really, we're okay. Why? Mm-hmm. Why are we okay? Well, okay, hit by drunk driver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and luckily it wasn't me driving, but it was kind of funny. So I'll tell the story. So,
sure, because this is a blessing.
It was a blessing.
I counted it a blessing.
Off track side a little bit, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, you were throwing out this idea that if we are truly blessed, and which you can look at several different ways. It could be the power to be abundant, the power to be prosperous, or it could be, you know, you are the power for to receive favor and so forth,
mm-hmm.
that every situation is blessed.
Right.
And I remember hearing this man, Orion Samuelson. He's really big in the farm community.
Yeah, he's on WGN.
WGN Radio. But one thing he said was, I learned early on, because he had a bone disease, that he couldn't work on the farm. And he really wanted to do anything, but he wanted to work on the farm. That's all he wanted to do his whole life. But he had this bone disease, and he couldn't do it because he was too weak, which led him on this huge career of being a spokesperson for the Farm Bureau and on the radio for farming and all this stuff, and he travels everywhere. He said, I learned never to judge any situation at that moment, because at that moment, everything looks really bad and crappy, but mm-hmm. only at the fullness of time, you're like, oh, yeah, that was a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that was a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, putting my big girl panties on, wearing them proudly, I say, okay, I'm willing to say that everything that happens in my life mm-hmm. is a blessing.
And not judging in the opposite way. That
not
it's
judging.
Like, how did I get cursed with this? Or,
yes.
Boy, this is horrible, you know.
So Saturday night, Doug and I went to see The Martian. Wonderful movie.
Ooh.
I think I heard him cry a couple times, too, but I didn't want to look.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then go, what do you mean, what, crying?
Oh, my God.
I that did not cry.
So hot.
Yeah,
in
he
that.
Was hot.
Oh, my God.
And then he had to, I think it was
CIG?
Yes, computer-generated
CGI.
Image. Yeah, no, computer-generated image.
Mm-hmm.
And because he went real thin and, mm-hmm. like, real bony thin.
Mm-hmm.
And we, of course, we have to see a nude shot of him that way.
Oh, really?
But not a nude shot of him the other way.
Oh.
Which I thought was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful movie. Well-written, good story, great ending, totally, totally satisfying. I didn't feel I was jerked around. I didn't feel like the director chose a different path so that I could have an emotional, you know, emotionally drawn in. You know, I was
mm-hmm.
emotionally drawn in, but I wasn't
mm-hmm.
emotionally left on the table, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know how those movies are sometimes.
Mm-hmm. The director's a jerk-off, or
that's,
DJO.
That's what I usually call it. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
the DJO.
Or the BJO.
I don't usually call it that. But I have called it the DJO before. And it's like, oh, please. I'll give you an example off topic again of a DJO. I saw The Notebook. There's a couple scenes in there. And I'm like, really? That I think he said the director or the author, you know, the writer
mm-hmm.
of the screenplay
mm-hmm.
totally set us up that if you had any kind of feelings, you would be sobbing like a baby, you know, on the floor.
I wouldn't. I'm strong that way.
Yes. And I'm just like, really? Oh, this is it? Oh, really? And then you're like, really? How dare you do this to us? This is so
awful.
How
dare you do this to me?
Yes.
I resent this.
Now, I'm going to change topics again, because here's the thing. In the movie Up, that cartoon with the balloons,
mm-hmm.
the first 2 minutes of that movie,
crying
your eyes out, and that was not a DJO.
Crying.
That was
no
beautiful,
right?
And then it was done.
Yes.
It wasn't the whole movie,
right?
It was done.
Yeah,
you know. So that's the difference for me.
Me too.
You know, and so forth. So anyway, so we saw the movie and totally satisfying. So we get out of the theater, and we're driving home, and we're on this 4-lane highway coming home, because about 15 miles worth, and I'm looking, and I see 3 sets of headlights heading my direction. And Doug's driving, and he's driving his new car, by the way, brand new car. And and I said, Doug, there's a car coming right towards us. He goes, what? I go, pull over, pull over, pull over. And so, and literally this car barely misses us.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that the car is in going the wrong direction in the left-hand lane, in our left-hand lane. And then as we move further and further to the right, basically now on the shoulder, it's merging towards us. And it barely scrapes us. I mean, barely misses us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what the heck? So Doug decides then we should follow to make sure that she doesn't kill anybody. I go, I said, no, we shouldn't. I'll call the police right now. And he goes, no. So he does an appropriate turn, and he's going in the right direction. The person is still going in the wrong direction, but we're both going the same direction. She's in the wrong lane, going the wrong way. We're in the right lane, going the right way. But we're following him. I'm on 911, telling him exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm. They want the license plate number.
And they go, can you give me a license plate number? And I'm like, yeah. Oh wait, she's kind of stopping now. She's kind of going now. Wait, she's stopping. No, she's going again. Oh, she's going again. And then this is going on for about literally a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And then finally she stops, and it's at an intersection, and we're pulled to the side. And I said, oh, I think she realizes she's on the wrong side, and she's going to kind of veer back into her lane going in the right direction. Because I don't know. I mean, she might not be intoxicated. I don't know. I think I had mentioned to you that she could have had the diabetic crazies. I don't know the appropriate term for that, but that just sounded appropriate at the time.
I know. You said, Mama, she could have had the diabetic crazies. I said, is that a technical term?
Yeah.
Is that a condition, an actual medical condition that you can, 409.2,
I have no idea. But so I didn't want to judge her too sharply. She could really have been in distress. And so,
and in the meantime,
we're stuck.
911 is saying, I need that license plate number.
And
I need that license
exactly.
plate number.
Exactly. And so, I'm not going to say it, by the way. So I'm like, I can't see it because we're four lanes over. We're in the appropriate lane, far away from her. She's in the wrong side, going the wrong direction. Like, I just can't see it. I can't, even with my eagle eyes, I can't see the license plate. And so then I go, but I think she's going to be okay and turn the right lane. And she ends up turning and making a U-turn. I'm like, I go, Doug, she's going to hit us.
And you're, wait a minute. I see her
and I go,
license plate number because she's coming head on.
And
I
go,
again.
Here's her license plate. And it's a funny license plate. And I say it out loud. And I can't say it because I don't want to. But if you heard it, you would go, really? That's her license plate? I go, yes, that's her license plate. I go, oh, her license plate is blank, 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 blank. And I go, and she just hit us. Son of a gun. And then and we were stopped, and she wasn't going. She was going not too fast because she was making a U-turn at the time. And then she rolls into the shoulder, in the ditch. And
the car starts
smoking. And I'm like, and Doug tried to get out of the car. I was like, don't get back in the car. Because he's a little perturbed at this moment. Like, what's going on?
I would not get out of my car, honestly.
I didn't want her to get him to get the car either because I didn't know about the traffic. I mean, he was. And so then we drove on the frontage road.
But you don't know what this person has, if
exactly.
they have a gun, or you just don't know.
Well, that's the truth. So then we pulled around, and by this time there was like two or three cars right around her because we all saw it. We all know what was going on. And I see people near her, and I'm like, I don't need to get a part of this right now. I'm just going to kind of witness what's going on because, like you said, we don't know. And then I see everybody walking away from her. I'm like, what's going on? Because she is being really creepy to us.
Oh, wow.
Telling us to, leave me the F alone.
Oh, really?
Get away from me.
The people that have stopped to help.
And I go, well, she okay? She goes, well, yeah, she's okay because she's just being rude, mean.
Now she's got that diabetic meanness.
I mean, listen, I've had blood sugar issues, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Okay, then finally the police came, and I shouldn't say finally, because when it's in a crisis situation, time seems to stand still.
Mm-hmm.
So what felt like literally 10 minutes might have been 2 or 3, maybe 4 or 5. I don't know. So the cops came, and the police officers came in, and I can hear them talking to her. And luckily she didn't hit anybody else but us. Luckily.
Yeah.
But I can hear them saying, ma'am, if you don't get out of this car right now, I'm going to handcuff you.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of this car now. And she got handcuffed.
Yeah.
And she got thrown to the grass. And then the ambulance came in. This burly man ambulance driver comes out. And unfortunately, they have to wear their suits, I guess, which is really weird. It must have been an ambulance/fire department that came because they had their
You mean like fireman suits on?
They kind of did.
Wow.
Yeah. And so he comes over, and they got her on the grass, and they pick her up, and they lean her against the car, and they're all talking to her. And she's just not giving up. She's like, not giving, just mm-hmm. being mean and like, mm-hmm. And
may I help you?
Yeah, leave me alone, you guys. And so finally they left, and this is a long process. Everybody got their statements taken and so forth. And
so she goes away in the ambulance, huh?
Yes, and so this is what bugging the most, though. So the county police took my license to get information down, but Lily took it. He literally took my license and went away.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And so by this time...
Did you get it back?
I did get it back.
Mm-hmm.
But I was okay with it because he knew Doug, and I'm like, okay, he'll get me my license back.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want him to forget about me because I need my license.
Yeah.
You know, I need it.
Truck driver.
And
girlfriend.
So we're the last ones to be able to leave, and I finally get my license. He goes, go ahead and leave. We pull forward to back into this one little area in the background. And by the time we do that, the tow truck has come and has blocked our way. So now we are stuck here again until the tow truck takes her vehicle and moves on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like, ah. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
That's what ticked me off the most. The fact that the tow truck driver literally saw that we were going to move forward,
mm-hmm.
and literally pulled right in front of us,
mm-hmm.
so that we couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Really? We're not the victims here?" and it was bizarre. But that was, and then he moved after with the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Here's our," I said, "Go, Doug, go, go, go." And we finally left. And they got the police report, and this is what made me felt so sad. I find out that she was 62 years old.
62?
Yeah. And it made me feel so incredibly sad and
wow.
mortal. Because the truth is, when we first came across her, it did look like she wanted to hit us,
mm-hmm.
In the first run.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, really?
The second time when she did hit us, I mean, there is no reason why she did what she did except she was aiming for us.
Yes.
I don't know if she was just having a real bad day, but
wow.
Yeah, when I saw her birthday, I'm like, wow. And I had such compassion for her,
mm-hmm.
even though she,
mm-hmm.
Drink
it and drive it.
Yeah, and she didn't kill anybody, thank God.
But I know what you're saying. 62, alone, on a Saturday night.
Well, I don't know
right?
what. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I mean, and I don't know.
Drunk.
Yes. I mean, she could have been just really partying hardy with a bunch of her friends. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
She looked like she was put together well.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised how old she was.
Oh, okay.
I mean, from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And because in my mind, all I saw were stirrup pants and a horizontal line top.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, she was out looking like if she was partying or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why it felt so sad to me. And I think because... Not by the grace of God, I'm not that.
Yeah.
But because I don't drink, that's not my mm-hmm. issue. But I can imagine feeling so bad sometimes. You're just
yeah.
like,
well, there was a, I don't know what you're maybe implying, but I know that, like last summer, there was a guy that literally hit another car head on because he was committing suicide.
Right. Well, and I remember being in the semi, driving for Dad one time, and literally just an hour before we were in stop traffic. And we were in stop traffic because a gentleman had killed himself aiming for a car out of a rest area.
Mm.
He was going out the wrong way, went fast, and intentionally hit another car, killing both him and the driver.
Oh, my God.
Because he wanted to commit suicide.
Right.
And so I don't have that as a fear. But I am cautious of it. So
mm-hmm.
if I,
mm-hmm.
Gratefully I have good eyesight. But, and it's not the first time that I've seen, I have had many occasions where I've pulled over because someone was driving on my side of the road. wrong way, wrong
wow.
direction. And sometimes I just think they're just messed up. You know, it gets confusing out there in the
mm-hmm,
world.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes get confused. Mm-hmm. You're like, do I turn here? Do I turn there? And sometimes the state has, like, wrong way, mm-hmm. but it's in the middle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And on the left-hand side is the wrong way, but on the right-hand side is the right way. So, mm-hmm. you know.
So so you read the police report. Was she local then? Or?
Yeah, very local.
Mm-hmm.
I have her address as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
They gave it to you?
On the police report. And she's insured. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting. So I was calling his insurance company, telling her everything that was going down. And
mm-hmm.
he goes, well, there will be a $1,000 deductible.
What?
And he's like, well,
wait, what?
Yeah. He's like, well, it wasn't. He goes, no, it doesn't matter. And then you can then go after them for the claim. We'll probably go out and get that taken care of. But initially, it'll be a $1,000 deductible. The deductible has to be paid. And they're like,
oh my God.
Wow, this is going to cost him some money.
Wow.
You know, and here you go. You're like, okay, how do I keep taking care of business, acting like a mature adult,
mm-hmm.
the adults I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
Same as Duck. How do we, like, claim our power and not take this as a big, like, F you on a Saturday night, kids,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Two wild kids having a, going out for a movie. You know, heading home. How do we do that? And and so looking
good
at
question.
Everything was a blessing, we think it is a blessing.
Yes.
You know, and you said today to me,
mm-hmm.
this is very interesting, you said,
was I being my wise guru?
Yes, self? You were, not your blue self. You're like, Julie, I believe everything's a blessing. And I meant to figure out how to then deal with the consequences of that. I'm like, yeah. Because here it is, Doug and I both agreed. She could have killed somebody.
Yeah.
I don't even know if she was trying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
right.
I said, she almost hit us on the first try and definitely hit us on the second try.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, it all ended for her. I mean, her journey on this path of feeling the way she was feeling,
mm-hmm.
drunk, whatever, mm-hmm. doesn't matter.
Because mm-hmm.
even if you're, you know, whatever, you
yeah.
know. And so, but then the consequences are, this is going to cost him. This possibly could cost him.
Yes.
This also could, it's going to cost him time, energy.
Hassle. Oh, my
cost
gosh.
Us. It's going to cost me just this idea.
Having to hear it from him.
Exactly. For sure. How many times I got to hear, I saved lives last night. My car and I saved lives. I'm like, yes, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Or the fact that all I keep seeing in my mind is this woman driving the same kind of car that I have and the license plate mm-hmm. coming right towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to laugh because it's such a funny license plate. But I won't. I can't share it with anybody.
Oh my gosh, Julie, you're such a tease.
I am. It's just, it's one of those spoiled rotten kind of plates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see that
yeah.
spoiled rotten. You know,
yes.
kind of one of those.
But you kind of get that. You kind of get when you get up close. You get you see the chick that's driving it.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
and you get it. But this I wouldn't have expected. You
no.
know.
And then what if it was her daughter's car? You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, true.
And what if there was a whole big, huge story behind this?
Yeah.
Like her daughter passed away.
Oh,
she's
Julie.
She's got a car. And I'm like, oh, no.
Julie.
I know. Those are all those weird thoughts. I know nothing about those.
Mm-hmm.
Just it was a really, it made me feel very mortal.
Yeah.
You know, because the story I had constructed, which was party girl
mm-hmm.
that matched her license plate,
mm-hmm.
drinking way too much, being
mm-hmm.
way too sassy, driving drunk on the way home on a
mm-hmm.
Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're like, you put the age in there,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, well, I don't know. This might change my,
mm-hmm.
maybe not. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know because here's the thing. Usually when if you are a longtime drinker,
mm-hmm.
there's some sort of grace that you get to manage your driving habits. Usually they drive real slow.
Right.
And to be on the wrong side of the road, that, I want to know more. I would want to know more because that to me is like, yeah, and I think Dad said, like, you know, I want to know where who let her get in that car.
Right.
You know, there are other things that need to be determined.
Exactly. Exactly. For sure. And now I kind of say, I wish I got the paper again, because I could be able to read about it.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I don't know if it's in the paper.
They'll probably have your name in there.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Oh, my. Well.
As you tell your story.
Yeah, exactly.
Picture of Julie like, oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
I saw the license plates coming at me.
Over and over and over again. I do feel that way, though, a little bit,
a little bit. Yeah.
So that was been my week. I've had, I don't know what to say.
So you'll
about
never
that.
Think about the movie The Martian
yes.
without ever thinking about the wreck right afterwards.
Oh, for sure, because that
it's
really
Mary.
Took over the Saturday.
Yeah.
I won't be able to. I mean, The Martian was a great movie.
Yeah.
And then the next hour was spent dealing with this. And so forth. Yeah, you're right.
So that's being married forever in that.
Yeah. So even the planet Mars in that will be married together forever. And so forth. Mm. So so that's kind of, that's kind of what my week's been about.
Yeah.
But all along the way, I've had these thoughts that you kind of bring to me and thoughts that I've been hearing. Like, when I hear things three times, I go, okay, stand, pay attention,
right,
whatever.
Right.
And it really hasn't been about you must choose all the time
mm-hmm.
to keep learning, doing new stuff, seeing life differently,
right.
choosing better answers for
right.
different questions,
isn't it
creating
true?
New questions.
You have to keep transforming your mind.
Yes.
That, the Bible, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is a continual process because
it's renewing.
Yes, the renewing. Because when you're stuck up against a wall, when it's just, you need a door
mm-hmm.
in your mind that gives you a little more space, that makes makes it a little bit. There's more grace around it, right? Because it can get real tight in that box, right?
Oh, for sure.
Right.
For sure. I mean, I love when you talk about space. And you just said for more grace to come in.
Yes.
And in our book, The Clutterfly Effect, I'll just say the whole thing. Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
On Amazon, amazon.com.
Yep. Just go in and put that in there. And we'd love to hear about it. We'll hear how you like it as we're working on our next books and so forth. And anyway, it's like we talk about in there that you have to have space. Create space for the new thing to come in.
Right. You have
and
to.
What if we chose the new thing to be grace?
Mm-hmm.
And grace meaning that we don't suffer the consequences of our actions in some sense,
right,
if that makes
right.
sense.
Right, yes.
Well, how do you define grace for yourself?
I define it as... It's a lot. It's like rain, it just rains down on you. It's love. It's Jesus. It's being blessed continually.
Yeah.
And that is a way to look at things, right?
Right.
That is a perception.
Yes.
And, that's when it gets down to, where the rubber meets the road. It's like it's always a choice. Always a choice.
Yes. To allow more grace to come in.
Yes.
And do we activate the grace by faith?
Yes. I think it's faith is activated by
grace.
Everything is activated by faith.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And so, when you think about it, right,
mm-hmm.
it's just important, especially in these days. I don't know how people just get through a day without faith, I mean, it's so easy. We have faith in, you plug something in and it lights up or it turns mm-hmm. the coffee pot on.
Right.
And we don't necessarily have to know exactly how all that works, right?
Right.
But we just you want that cup of coffee, your faith in that turning that switch activates it,
Yes.
It's very similar like that, And to me, it's just a better way to live. a way better way to live. And I'm, you know, I'm still always continually working on it. And I always see room where I have to, you know, where I would like to grow. You know?
Well, it's interesting.
Kinda like when you said, can I help you? You know, I'm like, not really.
No, really.
I don't really want to give you the time of day. You
know,
okay, was that, am I being gracious at that moment? I know I'm being a D'Antoni.
And that's okay, too.
Yeah.
That's okay, too.
Yeah.
And because we're working on it, right?
Yeah.
We're expanding.
Well, and because, I mean, grace has, I mean, you know, made me righteous.
Yes.
Not anything that I did.
No.
Nothing that I do. So
well,
that's cool, right?
Right. We were talking about this, you and I in our alone time, the power of happy habits versus bad habits.
I know.
And I know there's out there like the success habits and things like that.
Yeah, everybody talks about success. And sometimes
yet,
when I hear another success thing, I just go,
such a loaded word now, isn't it?
Yeah. I know. I was watching Shark Tank this week. And like, oh my God, this guy sold his educational company for $24 billion, and this guy, you know, he owns a team, Mavericks or whatever.
Yes.
And you know, and I mean, okay, we have no hope of ever playing in that realm,
right?
Even
girlfriend, don't say that.
That's true.
And then you go,
that's true.
I'm not sure if I want to play in
that's
that realm.
That's what I was going to say.
Were you?
That's what I was just going to say. I don't know if I want to play in that realm.
Right. I'm not really sure.
I'd like to play a little bit. You
yeah.
know, but
I don't know if that turns me on.
Yeah.
excuse me. And so we talked about how, and as we're really going deep in these habits, because a lot of our clients, it is about your growth really comes from habits. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
like what you choose to do
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
the choices you make.
On a moment basis
it helps you design your life.
Right.
And that gives you the flexibility to do what other things you want.
Mm-hmm.
Like your habits really create your future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about the present moment because the habits are not for present moment. But if you make them as your happy habits, they make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
And by making you happy, that is your present moment.
Right.
So you got your present moment taken care of, and then you got your future taken care of because
mm-hmm.
your habits really are there to take care of your future.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then your past
is
just,
Julie.
You know, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness all the way around.
Yeah, always.
We always call it forgiven consciousness.
Yes,
right?
We do.
In our book, I think we have a chapter in forgiven consciousness.
We do, yes.
We are so hard on ourselves that I think,
and especially it's
talking.
Like it's kind of like, maybe I shouldn't say this, but it's kind of like you've heard like the phrase the inmates are running the asylum.
Yeah,
you know, there are people that don't have a conscience, right?
Right.
And you wonder how, and the ones that do suffer, you know,
right.
they're like, oh, I should have done this, and then you got the boss who doesn't give a crap about,
right,
you know,
right.
And you're like, oh, it would just be the opposite sometimes. There are people who rake themselves over the coals and are way too hard on themselves, and you know, need to lighten up. Whereas maybe some of the other people could use a little bit of the,
right.
You know, that's all I'm trying to say.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Thank you, Julie.
I do.
Thank you.
So, you know, we've been talking about being an adult and kind of mastering that. And
You've
really,
been saying big girl panties a lot today.
I love that line. You
yes.
taught me that line.
Yes.
And I want to say getting really comfortable at, no matter how old you are, to be able to say, I'm willing to learn more.
Right.
Willing to not only learn more, implement more. Do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Shake things up, even if it takes me out of my comfort zone in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
And I had something has happened to me that I have found a new show on PBS, you know, out of the most unlikely channels. I used to be into Downton Abbey for a short time, and now I'm into this show called Nature on PBS. And I found my new career. When the time is right, I will hopefully be able to do this career.
Oh, I know what you're going to talk about.
You do.
Can I help you with that career?
Sure, you can, definitely.
Oh, yay.
And what I want to do is I want to be the person who nurses back orphan animals.
Yes.
to back to health, yes, and back into nature. Mm-hmm. And they've been telling these beautiful stories about this one, I think it's in Costa Rica. She takes care of orphan sloths.
Orphan what?
Sloths.
Oh, sloths.
Yes, horrible name. They are the kindest, sweetest little animals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, they have on their expression on their face at all times like a smile.
Oh, no.
I know.
And how do they become orphaned?
You know, just who knows how. Mom mm-hmm. dies, you mm-hmm. know. And they have to be cared for. And, you know, and this one story about this woman who just, you know, she's got like six sloths right now that she's working with.
Oh,
and
gosh,
they just hang on her because they have to be, so, they want to be so close to their mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sweet.
So she just walks around with six sloths on her all day long?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. And like that commercial where that guy, his little dog, he's got an injured leg.
Yeah.
And he goes, buys a baby Bjorn and puts a little doggy uh-huh. in that.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
And it's like this other woman, she took care of orphan bats. And she's in, I think, Melbourne, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a 30,000 bats in this one colony.
Holy.
And mm-hmm. what happens is the moms care for the babies really well,
mm-hmm.
except that they'll sometimes hit a building because they're in Melbourne. They'll become paralyzed.
Ooh.
Or this one bat and her baby, she was taking care of the mommy. She called her Mumsy and Bumsy. And Mumsy had gotten trapped in a fruit tree web, I guess, to take for prevent from mm-hmm. prevent bats eating all the fruit, right?
Mm.
She couldn't get out, and her paws were so terribly, you know, sore. And what happens in these crisis moments is that the moms stop producing milk.
Oh, out of just being in crisis?
Yes.
Okay.
Like a post-traumatic stress syndrome kind of thing. And so here she is, you know, she for this bat and her baby, she had like this fenced-in area, and the bat was hanging upside down, and
mm-hmm.
she would open up the wings and take out the baby. Initially, the mom was not very happy,
mm-hmm.
and then she would then nurse the little baby with
mm-hmm.
a bottle,
mm-hmm.
and she had to weigh the baby every day to see if mommy was giving her milk at all.
Oh, okay.
And if the baby was heavier, she was getting milk. If not, mm-hmm. she'd have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
How much did it weigh approximately?
I was in grams. I couldn't tell you.
Oh.
I think like 460. I really don't know. I mean, I'm just really would be just totally.
Because mm-hmm.
it might have been kilograms. I don't know. I thought it was grams.
Mm-hmm. How many grams equal an ounce?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. No problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
And it was little.
Mm-hmm. Teeny tiny.
Little baby.
Little tiny
and
bottle.
And every time she was nursing in the baby, it just looked at her with just like, hey, you, I love you, you're
feeding like adoring
me.
Eyes. Oh.
Yes. And you know, sometimes they would come in without the moms, just, you know, the little baby bats, maybe their mom had died or whatever.
Mm.
And they all kept a nipple in their mouth at all times because and wrapped really tight in a swaddling blanket because that's how it was in nature. The bats would keep them wrapped around them, and you know, in their wings, and they would just be naturally just attached to their little nipples,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Mm.
And so they mimicked that, and it was so sweet because we saw this. Everybody's goal is to get the animals ready for nature, you know,
to go back
into the wild.
Yeah,
yes, you know. And so they have to really pretend to be their mother, their caring mother,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times they're pushing them along, like be more independent,
mm-hmm.
you know, be on your own. And like with sloths, they're alone a lot. That's just how they operate. And so the first time the sloth is in this one, fenced-in area with some, you know, branches and stuff like that. She's there by herself, and they have a video recorder on her, and you can tell she's kind of scared and not moving at all.
The little sloth.
The little sloth is, uh-huh. and this is the time when she's supposed to be most active.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 3 hours in, she starts exploring, and they're like, "Yay, she's
uh-huh.
exploring!
Oh.
Oh, good job,
oh.
little sloth!"
Oh.
And the one thing I thought was very interesting about sloths, I'm just going to throw this little tidbit out. They only go to the bathroom like once every 4 days.
No.
So they have to come down from the canopies. And they come and they, you know, and I don't know if this is true for every sloth breed, but for this one,
mm-hmm.
it only goes to the bathroom on one tree. It poops and pees on one tree.
Wow.
Now, the theory behind that is that it's there to fertilize their most favorite tree. Like, hey, tree, I love you, and I'm going to poop and pee on you to make you grow more.
Make you grow more.
Exactly. And then we also saw the story of the kangaroos. And like, because there's so many kangaroos in Australia as well, a lot of times the mamas will get hit by a car and die. But because they're in the little roos, baby kangaroos are in the pouch,
mm-hmm.
they survive.
Mm.
And so you walk into this woman's house, and she's got like 13 bigger kangaroos hopping around the outside.
Mm-hmm.
The inside, she's all these baskets full of these baby kangaroos just wrapped up in the little, you know, in their little swaddling clothes, like, you know.
They mimic the sack.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she'll put them near her because they want to hear the heartbeat. And you're just like, these women, and I didn't see any men. I'm sure there are other men that do this.
Doubt it.
Yeah, really. But I just felt, wow, I you know what? Maybe my brain can expand for that career.
I would do that for you, Julie.
Well, I know. You did when I was little. I grew up, and you had to let me go. And then I came back. And that was a big disappointment.
You came back because you pooped and you peed in the right tree, and it grew, and it grew. It got stronger.
There you go. I found that one tree, seeded it. It all went well. I think there's kind of a good joke there, but we just haven't figured that one out
well,
yet.
You said canopies.
Yeah.
And there is a joke that I told you this week that the punchline is.
The canopies.
Yes.
Well, you've got 3 minutes. I say go for it.
No, you tell it.
Okay. Thank you, girlfriend. I'll tell the joke. And then we'll do our takeaway for the night. So anyway, there's this couple. And this couple...
Go before a judge
because the wife's been arrested for shoplifting.
Shoplifting.
And the husband's there because she's supporting his wife. And the judge is going, you know what? I'm throwing you in jail for every week. You know, what'd you shoplift? A can of peaches. How many peaches were in that can? The judge says, 6, because I'm putting you in jail for 6 weeks. 1 week for each peach. And then the husband raises his hand really, really tall, and he goes, Your Honor, Your Honor, Your Honor. He goes, what? They weren't peaches. They were peas. It was a can of peas.
Ba-dum-bum.
Now
that's how you come full circle.
Exactly.
That's how you do it.
Exactly. If I would have known that was going to be the joke at the end, I would have started off with the joke in the beginning. So it would have come full circle. And it's still a circle of life, girlfriend, isn't it?
Isn't it?
That's
Hakuna Matata.
That's what our takeaway is.
Yes.
That's
our takeaway.
Yep,
tonight.
We're trying to master the circle of life.
Yes.
Feeling like how we keep on growing, being brave enough to shake things up, and living with just the daily mishaps of life and calling them all as a blessing.
And daring not to go to commando, but daring to put your big girl panties on.
Yeah, you know what? Commando, not too sexy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Not too smart. Hey, big girl panties? There you go.
There you go, honey.
Yeah. You know what? I'm actually going to come up with a... Don't anybody take this idea now out there.
Okay.
I'm going to come up with an underwear line called Big Girl Panties. And they're going to have phrases on it, like, you go, girl, or you glow, girl, or stuff like, hey, you got the right stuff.
Yeah.
You can do it. Yeah, you know, you're wonderful.
Yes. Yeah, keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
You can go for it.
Yes.
It's just be this big girl panty line. They're like, choose more life. Yeah.
Take one more helping of life and put on your big girl panties.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll have an elastic waist so I have room for those decisions.
That's right.
Don't be a coward. Be brave.
That's
be
right.
brave, girl.
Right.
Be brave. So, everyone, we want to say thank you very, very much for joining us tonight on Life with the Girlfriends and More Life with the Girlfriends.
That's right. And you know what? Go to prosperitypostcards.com and sign up and get free daily audio prosperity postcards from us.
Amen, amen, amen.
And go to amazon.com and buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect.
Yep, and thank you for everybody just listening. We're at ChristineMarieAngeli.com. And Mama, how was the show tonight?
I think it was great.